There were guards there too, and they had crossbows and a considerably more unsympathetic outlook on life, and in any case, Mort had run out of horses. He loitered a bit until they started paying him a generous amount of attention, and then wandered disconsolately away into the streets of the little city feeling stupid. After all this, after miles of brassicas and a backside that now felt like a block of wood, he didn't even know why he was there. So she'd seen him even when he was invisible. Did it mean anything? Of course it didn't. Only he kept seeing her face and the flicker of hope in her eyes. He wanted to tell her that everything was going to be all right. He wanted to tell her about himself and everything he wanted to be. He wanted to find out which was her room in the castle and watch it all night until the light went out, and so on. A little later, a blacksmith, whose business was in one of the narrow streets that looked out onto the castle walls, glanced up from his work to see a tall, gangling young man, rather red in the face, who kept trying to walk through the walls. Rather later than that, a young man with a few superficial bruises on his head called in at one of the city's taverns and asked for directions to the nearest wizard. And it was later still that Mort turned up outside a peeling plaster house which announced itself on a blackened brass plaque to be the abode of Igneous Cutwell, D.M., unseen, Master of the Infinite, Ulminatus, Wizard to Princes, Guardian of the Sacred Portals, if out leave mail with Mrs. Nugent next door. Suitably impressed, despite his pounding heart, Mort lifted the heavy knocker, which was in the shape of a repulsive gargoyle, with a heavy iron ring in its mouth, and knocked twice. There was a brief commotion from within, the series of hasty domestic sounds that might, in a less exalted house, have been made by, say, someone shoveling the lunch plates into the sink and tidying the laundry out of sight. Eventually the door swung open, slowly and mysteriously.
You'd better pretend to be impressed, said the door knocker conversationally, but hampered somewhat by the ring. He does it with pulleys and a bit of string. No good at opening spells, see?
Mort looked at the grinning metal face. I work for a skeleton who can walk through walls, he told himself. Who am I to be surprised at anything? Thank you, he said.
You're welcome. Wipe your feet on the doormat. It's the boot scrape of day off.
The big low room inside was dark and shadowy and smelled mainly of incense, but slightly of boiled cabbage and elderly laundry, and the kind of person who throws all his socks at the wall and wears the ones that don't stick. There was a large crystal ball with a crack in it, an astrolabe with several bits missing, a rather scuffed octagram on the floor, and a stuffed alligator hanging from the ceiling. A stuffed alligator is absolutely standard equipment in any properly run magical establishment. This one looked as though it hadn't enjoyed it much. A bead curtain on the far wall was flung aside with a dramatic gesture, and a hooded figure stood revealed.
"Beneficent constellations shine on the hour of our meeting," it boomed.
"Which ones?" said Mort. There was a sudden worried silence.
"Pardon?"
"Which constellations would these be?" said Mort.
"Beneficent ones," said the figure, uncertainly. It rallied. "Why do you trouble Igneous Cutwell, holder of the 8 keys, traveller in the dungeon dimensions, supreme mage of..."
"Excuse me," said Mort. "Are you really?"
"Really what?"
"Master of the thingy. Lord Oi, what's the name of the sacred dungeon?" Cutwell pushed back his hood with an annoyed flourish. Instead of the grey-bearded mystic Mort had expected, he saw a round, rather plump face, pink and white like a pork pie, which it somewhat resembled in other respects. For example, like most pork pies, it didn't have a beard, and, like most pork pies, it looked basically good-humoured.
"In a figurative sense," he said.
"What does that mean?"
"Well, it means no," said Cutwell.
"But you said..."
"That was advertising," said the wizard. "It's a kind of magic I've been working on. What was it you were wanting, anyway?"
He leered suggestively.
"A love filter, yes. Something to encourage the young ladies."
"Is it possible to walk through walls?" said Mort, desperately. Cutwell paused with his hand already halfway to a large bottle full of sticky liquid.
"Using magic?"
Said Mort. "I don't think so."
"Then pick very thin walls," said Cutwell. "Better still, use the door. The one over there would be favourite, if you've just come here to waste my time."